It's interesting when it comes to New Year's, right? Are you, how many of you guys are resolution makers? How many of you guys have given up on resolutions? Apparently, there we go. That's everybody. I listened to this podcast called Freakonomics. If you haven't heard of it, it's really brilliant. They do all these great research on kind of random things going on in life and culture and how it affects our daily life. And something like 60% of Americans make a New Year's resolution. 60%. The statistics are there's about an 8% success rate on New Year's resolutions. But there is something special about that reset. That was the concept they were talking about, is this like need for in human instinct is to have a reset. We need something to change. And I know for me, I get really caught up in these weird life patterns, and I get lazy, and I end up spending evenings scrolling, doom scrolling, they say. Or, you've had to organize your garage, your basement for months and months and months, and it's like, oh, I just need to get started on this project. And once you get started, it feels like things can actually go, right? And so we're jumping in this year in reset, okay? We're covering a series that I'm calling Treasures. And we're talking through the money parables. There's plenty of them. We're not going to cover all of them. But we're going to talk about our heart. We're not covering money. We're talking about our heart and how what we invest our treasures into will reflect out into the kingdom. So I want to talk about areas over the next, I think we're going to do 11 weeks, maybe. It's up until Palm Sunday. We're going to just cover each of these parables and break them down, diagnose our own areas of weakness, of inadequacy, of failing, talk through them, and try to create avenues where we can learn to invest our treasures into the kingdom. So I hope this is good. I hope it's helpful. I'm going to be preaching to myself the whole time. So I want you guys to know that I'm not preaching at you. I'm kind of doing this as my own devotional study as well. So you guys will be getting some fresh stuff out of me. Should be great. But we'll see what the Lord has in mind over the next few months. Cool? Awesome. So we're going to jump into our first parable from Matthew chapter 25. Would you guys stand with me as we read the Lord's word? Matthew 25, the words of Jesus. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his king's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, You entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the bag of gold and give it to one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can take a seat. So we hit these New Year's resolutions. Dear God. In my mind, a resolution gives you a chance to reflect. What are your anxieties on a certain area? Where have you been fearful or unable to overcome certain things? But it allows you to express a potential hope for the future, right? When you set a resolution, when you change your mind about something, it's because you have something hopeful to look forward to. When we talk about money and treasure and investment, we think about saving more money. We want to earn more money. We want to feel more secure in our living situation. That is very normal. It's a day-to-day thing. We all wonder, are we going to have enough? I think with money, we do our best to control the resources that we have. I think it's all anchored in this question about, like, who are you? How involved is God in your life? What's the story that we're living in? Do you trust? Do you have hope that the future has good things for you? You see that contrast between what are you afraid of? What are you anxious about? And what are you hopeful for? And money, man, it just lives right there between fear and hope, doesn't it? We want to control it, want to make sure we have enough because we don't know the future. And while we want something to be hopeful for, I just don't think it's going to be that way. And so much of our lives get caught up in this pattern of preservation, save, secure, make sure you're here tomorrow. Some of us might be going, I don't see anything wrong with that. But I think Christ has offered us some advice in this. There's a reason there's so many conversations around money in the Gospels. Why the authors of Jesus's bring up these parables. It's because it's such a critical element of our daily life. As we explore money, we think about these shifting identities and what you put yourself into. What do you find valuable? For many of us, you know, we live in the wealthiest society ever. We live in the upper 15, 10% probably. Somehow, remarkably, the top 2% of all the people maintain something like 80% of the world's wealth. I mean, we're like right there, you guys. We are so well off. Yet we're constantly worried. Are we going to have enough? What do I invest my money and my time into? So what I want to propose is this metaphor, this way of seeing who we are as not only people living in this difficult world, but as we've talked so many times over the years, we are citizens of what? Say it again. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Yet here we are in this reality, this world, and it's hard. They're not connecting, right? How do we fit as children of God in this world where it just doesn't feel like there's enough, that we're constantly trying to survive and get through? So what I want to put in our mind here is this idea that we are not merely citizens of another kingdom that are trying to survive here. We, in fact, have been sent by this kingdom as, here's the key word, ambassadors. Friends, we have been sent as ambassadors into the world. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. And God has assigned you this special task of showing the people in this world what his kingdom is like. And so when Jesus talks about all these treasures and the ways that we should be investing our life and our time, what he's trying to say is, the Father has given you, ambassador, all the resources. You have access to all of these resources. Now go be wise and show the world what my kingdom is like. Do you guys see that? Do you sense the importance of this call? This is not just a question about how much money is in your investment account. Will I be able to retire? Well, I've got bad news for you guys. There won't be enough money. It's not just not going to happen. Unless you've been given the wealth of all generations and you just have all this money in your account, congratulations, you'll be the richest person in the graveyard. Because we don't get to take any of this with us. But there's an exchange rate. Because we've been given access to kingdom resources. And it's our job to figure out, in any given situation, how do I translate these kingdom resources and invest them into this world to make the greatest impact? It's not the other way around, you see. God hasn't given you these resources so you can build this kingdom here. So I can feel secure and have a house that's really nicely trimmed, or a car that goes 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds, which is really a lot of fun. I drive an electric car, and man, it is so fun. with the resources that God has given us, like the master has given his servants, is to go take those resources and multiply them for his kingdom. Not so we can build our own sense of security and wealth. Listen to this. This is the anchor for the entire series on treasures. Ready? This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Many of you know this. It's from the Sermon on the Mount. If you do nothing else in your life when it comes to money, think about this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermins do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, Jesus is saying money is not just money, disciples. Money is a window into the things that you care about. You can look around at the things that you have, your possessions, and you can see what you find valuable. On a minuscule scale or on a broad life principle scale, if you have a nice dining room with a big table and lots of chairs, and the table's always dirty, you know what that means? You're always at the table. I mean, that tells you what you find value in. Right? When we look at these chairs, and I don't know how old they are, but we've had them a while. And you come in, and you know, I'm right on the edge of OCD, okay? It's undiagnosed. But I'll tell you what, and Jeremy knows this, and a handful more are where we have a measuring stick that is like the perfect gap for, we call it the gapper. Yeah. Tells us how the chairs are supposed to be organized in straight rows. If you notice, there's some tape here. There are worse problems to have than on a Monday morning needing to come in and straighten the rows. But you know what that says? We value sitting in these seats. That's why they're moving around. It's because we're using them, praise God. We don't have these unused seats that are in perfect rows. Do you see why that's good? But then on the flip side of that, how much of our life do we spend just choosing to buy stuff? Don't ask questions. So easy on Amazon. I need that. Boom. It's there the next day. Sometimes it's there in 4 hours. I ordered myself a speaker on eBay. It was used. Good deal. Shipping from Phoenix. Supposed to be here yesterday. I checked this morning. I'm like, I didn't get that speaker. So I looked. This is brand new information, you guys. Looked. It was back in Arizona. It was in Denver yesterday, and now it's back in Arizona. And I'm like, how dare the post office do this to me? I ordered these 5 days ago. It's a first world problem, indeed. It's just so easy to not have to think about where our money goes. It goes back to this idea. We are just so wealthy. We are so well off in this society, this culture. And there are people that live around us who are going without. That's not to make excuse for them. In fact, that should be the call. If you're going to question where you're spending your money, it should be on the possessions and the simple things. There should be no question about caring for those who are going without, who don't have meals. Don't store up your treasures in places that won't last. Now, right after Jesus says this, there's this like weird, tricky thing he says. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay. We're talking about money and treasures. Jesus says this thing, and then he goes back. No one can serve two kings. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay, I get that. There's like this money thing that he says in the beginning, wraps it up with his money thing, but then he's talking about the eyes are the lamp of the body. Why does he say this? So the question, I think, should we be talking about money? Should we? There's yeses, some noes. So this passage, this like blind darkness thing that he says is really tricky. But I'll key you in. This is about greed. Jesus goes right after greed. Consider the wealth of the people around you. How many of you guys have friends that have more money than you? And if you don't, I'd like to be your friend. Kidding. But I tell you, it's so easy to say that you're living modestly. You're living within your means. When you look at people that have more money and you go, oh, they're so greedy. This middle section here, the blindness of the eyes, like darkness is in our heart. What Jesus is trying to get to is a warning to you that if you hear this passage about investing your treasures in the kingdom of earth or in the kingdom of heaven, and you can say, that doesn't apply to me, Jesus is saying this applies to you. Because with your greed, you have been blinded. Your greed has blinded you from seeing how you have been so freed from needing to rely on God, to rely on others, that you don't have to choose anything. Money has enabled you to do whatever you want. And so you, in your mind, have been so blinded that you can convince yourself, there are people who are greedier than me. See, I'm not so bad. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, the whole body will be full of darkness. You know, if you turn the light off in the room right now, there's plenty of light. But like, right, we're working on our basement at the house, right? We just bought this house and we don't have light fixtures plugged into the switches yet. So I got to plug in a light. So go behind this door and you're kind of like feeling around. You remember where you put the light, the plug for the lights. But you got to like really be careful. Such is the blindness of greed. It's so dark. You can't even see that you're being greedy. Greed blinds you. You don't know that it's causing you to just consider yourself because it's hiding. It's easy to justify your money choices when you just don't have to consider others. This is what Tim Keller said. Money has the power to keep you from needing to ask questions about how you spend your money and how you make it. Pretty powerful tool. Money has the power to keep you from needing to ask questions. Keep you asking questions about how you spend your money and how you make money. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 19, verse 24, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus isn't telling you it's wrong to be rich. What he's saying is the darkness of greed is so dark that you cannot see how much you're relying on yourself. The power of money blinds you. Our eyes have been covered by the immense amount of wealth that we have. We can't even perceive the feeling of starvation. You guys see how powerful the darkness of greed is in our life. We're so comfortable. And I tell you, it's not wrong. But the failure here is that we have forgotten where the resources have come from. Why? Because we are kingdom citizens, ambassadors, sent to the world to demonstrate God's character and heart. Thinking about Chronicles of Narnia right now. And who's the younger brother? Edmund. Tempted by the queen with Turkish delight. And what happened to him? His desire blinded him from what was really going on. And it was only until the king Aslan opened his eyes that he realized, I was deceived. Friends, we have been deceived. We've been deceived to think that we are doing a good job with our money, that we have not been greedy. We've been deceived by culture to tell us you need to invest to save your money, so you can retire, so you can go to golf courses and cruise lines and do all these great vacations. I'm not telling you any of that is wrong. Don't hear that. But when that becomes the end, then it's clearly demonstrated that's where your heart is. Here's where I want to finish. On a cruise line, drinking my mojito, not a care in the world. I have that dream too, you guys, except it's on a beach with my feet in the sand. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 17 and 18. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. There's a reason we need to talk about money. Because our hearts have been so deceived that we think we are the source of our wealth. It's my money, my car, my remote control. I mean, we become like teenagers fighting over the controller for the video game. Who gets to be first player? What a bizarre desire to be first player. I tell you, it's not that great. You got to choose which racetrack you're going to do. You got to wait for everybody. It's better to be second controller because then you just get to choose your character and go with whatever's happening. You guys know what I'm talking about. Those who have ears, let them hear. So now, ambassadors, I want to challenge you. Are you a steward or a servant? Listen to this, 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Everything you've been given, everything that the Lord has provided for you, the vast resources of the kingdom's wealth has been provided to you for this one thing. Serve. Go invest it all into places that will redeem lives, restore hope, give people purpose, demonstrating the love of Jesus that also went into their world and died for them, just like he did for you. Friends, we are the ambassadors, stewards of the wealth of the greatest kingdom ever. No longer are you a servant. You're not just there to appease the master. The master's given you his resources to demonstrate his goodness. It's a bit of a mind shift, don't you think? From save your money so you can retire. What a waste of time that is. So looking in this parable, the parable of the talents, the king's entrusting each servant with capital, right? Equity. I'm giving you something to invest with. Five bags, two bags, and one bag. And each servant had the same opportunity. You guys familiar with the term ROI? Return on investment. It's when a business asks, did what I put in produce enough to get more than what I started with? And if it's not more, then the return on investment is zero. Right? If you put one in, you get 1.1 back, you have a net gain. It's pretty easy math. That's called return on investment. Okay? So the first two servants, they invested what was entrusted and produced more. There was a return on their investment. They multiplied the master's resources. The last servant buried his bag. His return was zero. But if you listen to how the master follows up, what did he say? You should have invested the money in the bank at least. Why? Interest. Where does interest come from? Return on investments. So the bank will take that money and create more wealth. So with that being said, if you bury the money, actually there's a negative return on that investment. We all know this because we've had savings accounts, and the current interest rates on savings accounts are 0.0001. And And the common advice is don't put your money in the bank. Why? Because there's no, it's a negative ROI. You're better off putting your money in your pockets than in the bank and spending it, because there's more value in spending your money. Because if any dollar you put in the bank today will be worth less tomorrow because of the way the market increases. It's this weird environment that we live in, you guys. Don't save your money. That is the weirdest thing. I grew up, you're supposed to put your money in a savings account. And now that I'm an adult, it's like, don't do that. You're actually losing money by saving it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's probably some more financially minded people who can explain this better. That'll be after service. But here's the point. A kingdom return on investment is not profit. The two that invested the master's money returned it to him. It was his money in the first place. The message is about faithful stewardship, having courage that what God has provided you is for growth. The more came from their participation in doing something with what the master gave them. And those who did nothing with it were punished. What the king gives, what the master gives us, is this capital to build his kingdom. And that your ability, your willingness to invest into his kingdom is equal, proportionate to the amount that you are returning to his kingdom. That's why he says, when you invest more, more will be given to you. I didn't say that right. To whom much is given? Anyway, it's like Spider-Man. I'm sorry. There's 8 people in this room that know what I'm talking about. Thank you. But the king has delegated this investment opportunity. See, the father is the source of all of it. The ownership is just a functional matter. But the truth is, ambassador, you've been delegated the wealth of the kingdom. It all belongs to him. The Father's the source of all of it. You can become a steward in partnership with the king's resources, or you can just perceive the master as someone who only wants to get his way. And you will do little with what he's given you. Return on investment is about faithfulness. To invest in places where you hope God is moving. Not to invest in scarcity. Not to invest in fear. Not to be concerned that the master is going to rebuke you or be mad at you, but to be hopeful that all of the resources that God's given me, he has something good in mind. And that's the fearful servant, the one that didn't invest. He was lazy. Scarcity mindset. Lacked any creativity. Buried what was meant to be multiplied. And then that kingdom identity as ambassadors, as we deploy the resources, we know that we are representing a kingdom that is not our own. The authority is entrusted, and that reframes responsibility. Instead of just doing what you should, you become investors. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Do I have that up there, Melanie? I do, yep. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim with new wine. Honor. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Give, invest. Those are things that are acts of worship, not things that we should be accounting. Give of the first fruits, the best parts of your crops. I can't tell you as a missionary how many times I did not get first fruits. I got day olds, really. Jess and I lived on food stamps for 5 years. How dare us? And we would get the food from food banks. Stale bread. Now, a friend of ours loved the frozen meats, and she got yak once. And invited everybody over to eat yak. I've never had yak, and I still have not had yak, because I did not go. I can't tell you how many times churches, missionaries, get the leftovers. Those who have invested their lives in the kingdom of God. We've got this 12-year-old couch that smells like rot, and the dog's been sleeping on it. Does the church want it? No! Listen, for those who remember our old youth pastor, Justin, he confessed to me when I asked him about that gross old couch that used to be in the youth room. Justin's 39, I think, right? He goes, oh yeah, when I was in college, I found that couch on the side of the road. I don't know how old that couch was, but it was trash. And a college student picked it up because college students are thrifty and they don't have any money, naturally. How many of us think, I'll just give what's left over? Rather than, I am going to give from the abundance of what God has provided me. And I'm not talking about tithing, you guys. I'm talking about expressing the love of charity in every aspect of our life. What happened to celebrating when people are provided for? When good things come to those who didn't have anything? Food stamps for us gave us the ability to buy real food for our family. It's a shame that we didn't earn enough as missionaries. Part of that's on us. We were not really good at asking for money early on. And then we got too busy. But I tell you what, at no point in my life with Jesus have I ever lacked. Never. Do you believe the master, the king, the one who has sent you as an ambassador, cares enough for you that if you gave everything away right now in his name, that he wouldn't take care of you? Might not be in the way that you expect. But we have never, ever lacked. What are you investing in, ambassador? How have you been faithful? When you do, you get an overflow, the passage says. When you give of the first fruits, when you give from the best of what the kingdom has given you, you get an overflow. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. This is how the passage ends, you guys. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom. Does seek second his kingdom? No. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of this will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has its own concerns. Each day has enough trouble on its own. The very human hope. Jesus says, don't plan for the future. That's backwards, right? Don't plan for the future. Everything I've ever learned about the U.S. economy and how we survive is by planning for the future. That's how we get by. We make budgets. Church has a budget. We're allocating resources. We're doing a good job. And God himself said, don't worry about tomorrow. He's talking a bit about our heart, right? It's not about saving money. What are you anxious about? Do you put your hope that the king has provided? Or are you worried? So you have to store up treasures for yourself. You see it? I see it. That we've become the greatest, greatest ambassadors of the most impactful movement ever. We are followers of Jesus. And I don't worry about a single thing. Yeah, right. But I don't worry about where my money's coming from. Tell you what, if the church closed tomorrow, we'd all be really devastated. It would be sad. But you know where my hope is? My hope is in the Father and his provision. Why? Because I've been through it. I know enough to say he's taking care of it. And I'm not worried. I'm just not. And so should you be too. Maybe you're working to find a job. Or maybe you're working on retiring. Or maybe you're in the midst of the most stressful financial situation you've ever been through. Or maybe you're doing great. All of it has come from the Father above. All of it. Why? So you can get a return and give it back to him. All of it. Whether you have one or 10, the amount doesn't matter. He is going to continue to provide for you as long as you continue to invest in the things that he cares about. It's that simple. Friends, in the kingdom, your faithfulness expands your capacity. For the kingdom, the treasury is limitless. For the kingdom, provision flows to those who give freely, with no ties. For the kingdom, God multiplies what's been entrusted beyond your imagination, beyond anything you can dream about. God has provided it. It's already there. I'm not talking about health and wealth, possessions, but real lasting kingdom activity. There are kind relationships out there. There are people to serve out there. And there is love to be demonstrated and experienced. Lives to be transformed. Those are the kind of riches that motivate us as the ambassadors of the King. Transformed lives. When you talk about jewels on our crowns, those are the kind of things that we're going to be happy about, brag about. I got to talk to Phil. I shared my testimony with him. He gave his life to Jesus. It's amazing. God is so good. But that's not just in eternity. I feel better about my life with Jesus when I see transformation in other people's lives. That is true beyond anything else I've experienced. There is nothing more true in my life than when I see somebody else experience the love of the Father for the first time, or the second time, or change something, or go, God has convicted my heart. I got to do something different. I love to be on the edge of what God is doing. Why? Because I have hope. I have hope, you guys. I believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe that you're an ambassador? Or are you stuck in the muck still? Like the unfaithful servant going, I just don't trust the master. So I do have a challenge. We'll invite our worship team up as we wrap up here. I want you guys, at some point during this series, to identify something, an asset in your life. This is an experiment, okay? I want you to identify an asset in your life and name it as a kingdom resource. Anything. Maybe it's money, maybe it's wedge out some time. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to draw you to where you should invest that thing. Whatever it might be. And here's what I believe. I believe God is going to demonstrate his faithfulness to you. I don't know how, but I believe when you take something and name it as the Father's, and you go and invest it in something that he cares about, he promised. We just read the stuff. He promised that you will get a return on that. What's the return? Intimacy, love, hope. Friends, your faithfulness to do the things that the King has sent you to do will return back to you. And I want to hear those stories. Name something. Give it to the Lord and actually go do it. We're planting seeds, friends. Let's plant some seeds. Like faithful stewards of the kingdom. Would you guys stand with me and I'll pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your deep work in our lives. Thank you for the way, Jesus, that you have revealed the most difficult things that we do in life and that tension between hope and fear. Help us, Lord, to see where money and investments and skills and talents, all those things that we see in our life that we just don't always know what to do. Spirit, call us to something new. Call us to something fresh. Reveal your faithfulness to us, Father, that one day we might see and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are in it and that we as your people are your ambassadors. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, let's worship.